From Jefferson Public Radio at Southern Oregon University, this is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Off the top, stop the presses. Nobody really says that, but a few hearts might have stopped for a moment when the Medford and Ashland newspapers learned of a new owner. Mail Tribune and Daily Tidings editor Bob Hunter will talk about the new bosses. Down the hour, the kinds of legal troubles for which the court does not appoint a lawyer free of charge. How do you deal with those? The Medford-based Center for Nonprofit Legal Services often steps in. You'll hear about its mission and its caseload. After 9, when the quality of life is so diminished, the basic question is asked, should I go on? Writer Katie Butler faced that question in her own family. She writes about it in her book, Knocking on Heaven's Door, The Path to a Better Way of Death. All that and your phone calls and emails ahead on the Jefferson Exchange after this hour's news. This is the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. We are broadcasting live on weekday mornings and rebroadcasting on weekday evenings on radio stations serving Oregon and California. And we're found online at jeffexchange.org. It is Friday, September the 13th, 2013. Welcome to the weekend. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. In this hour, new owners for newspapers and legal help at low cost. You'll first hear from Bob Hunter, the editor of the Mail Tribune in Medford and the Daily Tidings in Ashland, about the company buying the papers. Then you'll hear from the people at the Center for Nonprofit Legal Services about how it helps people in need of legal services and how it affords to help. You can join our discussions on the exchange. We'll provide phone numbers and email address shortly. First, let's hear the weather forecast. Here is Jefferson Exchange producer Charlotte Duran.
On the northern California coast today, a chance of drizzle and areas of fog and mostly cloudy with a high near 64. In Redding and Red Bluff, mostly sunny and hot with a high near 98. In Yreka, mostly sunny with a high near 95. In Weed and Mount Shasta, mostly sunny with a high near 90. On the southern Oregon coast, patchy fog and cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 71. In the Klamath Basin, mostly sunny with a high near 88. In Grants Pass, Medford and Ashland, sunny and hot with a high near 97. On the southern Oregon Cascades and Siskiyous, mostly sunny with a high near 80. In Roseburg and the Umpqua Basin, patchy fog and cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 90. And in Eugene and Springfield today, cloudy through mid-morning, then gradual clearing with a high near 82.
I keep hearing there's a system on the way that's going to make a change, and by the middle of next week, things will be considerably cooler, but looks like it's not going to arrive until sometime early next week. Tomorrow, pretty much the same as today, it looks like, with the temperatures right around where they are right now. So our whiff of summer will continue. It is still obviously officially summer and will be for more than another week right now, but you notice we're so close to the equinox. It's really gotten to the point it's like the sun comes up at 7:15 and it sets around 7:15. So that's the world we live in and the time of year we live in. Let's make the most of it. Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We're always glad when you're joining us. And if you'd like to take part in our conversations, you can do that as well. Phone number is here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782. And the email address is jx@jeffnet.org. It is tough to make money in the news business these days. The Internet set up the system by which we get many pieces of information for free. And no branch of the information business took the change harder than newspapers. Here's a key comparison. 20 years ago, the New York Times bought the Boston Globe for more than $1 billion, with a B. Last month, the Times sold the Globe for $70 million, less than a tenth of what it spent buying it 20 years earlier. But there's still an audience of readers out there, and people are still buying newspapers not just at the newsstand, but also buying the chains, including the people who recently agreed to buy the Mail Tribune of Medford and Daily Tidings of Ashland. Bob Hunter is the editor of both those papers and our guest here on The Exchange. Bob, welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning. So for a little while there, you actually shared an owner at the Mail Tribune and Daily Tidings with Fox News?
We did, yes. Rupert Murdoch, News Corp. We didn't have a lot of contact with Fox News other than occasionally watching it on the tube, but yep, same ownership.
Okay, so pardon me for starting facetiously, but as ultimately what happened was that the News Corporation, Rupert Murdoch's company, bought the entire Dow Jones operation, of which your paper was a portion.
Right, right. He he was after the Wall Street Journal and Dow Jones. That was his goal, and that was back in 07, I believe. When he got Dow Jones, he got us, which he might not even really have known about at the time. All along, we were not really a good fit for what News Corp was all about. They're looking at really big properties. Wall Street Journal, obviously, they've been bantered about as possibly, you know, buying the L.A. Times. So the Mail Tribune and the Ashton Daily Tidings were rather low on the totem pole in the News Corp world.
During the time that News Corporation was nominally in charge, was there any particular direction from above during that period? Or were you just sort of neglected because they were trying to sell you anyway?
Well, it wasn't. There was no editorial direction. I tell people I at one point sat in on a phone conversation with Rupert Murdoch and 10,000 of his closest friends. It was a conference call on the very first day that News Corp took over Dow Jones, and I listened in on it. Beyond that, I saw him on TV a few times. He managed to get himself in the news there for a bit. Other than that, we really didn't have much contact.
So, Bob Hunter, which papers are in the chain and who bought the chain?
Well, locally, it's us and the Tidings, the Mail Tribune and the Tidings. On the West Coast, there's also Stockton, the Stockton Record. Other papers include Cape Cod, which is in Hyannis, Massachusetts, a bunch of papers back in the Northeast, Middletown, New York, New Bedford, Massachusetts, papers like that. There are nine papers altogether.
All right. And my brother actually worked for the Metro West Daily News in the Boston area, so he's familiar with the Gatehouse chain, which now broached the subject before you did. So Gatehouse is the purchaser, is that correct?
Right. Gatehouse is the – we will be part of the Gatehouse Group. Originally, we're purchased by a holding company, by a finance company. Gatehouse is in the midst of working its way through a bankruptcy, so we're not part of that group. We're being managed by them currently, and then at some point, once they work through this bankruptcy, we'll be folded into the mix. At least that's the understanding we have and what we've read in the financial papers.
So the actual investment group, that's Fortress Investment Group?
Right.
All right. Now, that's not a name unknown in Medford. At one point, it did own the company that owned the Central Oregon and Pacific Railroad.
Right, right.
Which it doesn't anymore, apparently, so that would have been an interesting combination to have one company owning the railroad and the newspaper.
That's right. Well, there was also the possibility that we'd be bought by Berkshire Hathaway, and then it would have been the newspaper and the power company would have both been owned by the same company. So the world is... The number of owners out there seem to be shrinking.
Right. Yeah, conglomeration is definitely the order of the day. You mentioned the bankruptcy, which certainly caught some people by surprise. So it seemed like the announcement that Fortress was buying the Dow Jones local papers came on day one, and day two was, oh, by the way, Gatehouse is going into bankruptcy.
Right. We actually announced it on day one. So
Okay. Good. It's good. You want to get ahead of the curve on these things.
Yeah, we had it in our paper. We've just been up front with it. It's part of the ongoing. It's really a restructuring that they're doing. They have as we understand it, they have a prepackaged bankruptcy that will be it will be a fairly quick and speedy process. We're really on the sidelines in that, fortunately, because we're not actually owned by Gatehouse. So at this point.
So how long then, Bob, a process to complete the deal, and who will the people in Medford report to?
Well, the deal is done. When it was announced, we are sold. It's not like, I think some people were a little surprised. It's like if a bank is going to sell, there's an announcement and it goes on and on and on and
right.
on. 6 months later, finally, they move over and they're part of the other bank. But we're more like a private company that when it sells, it sells. So when we had that question at the meeting here in the building, and the question came up, well, when does this take effect? And our publisher said it took effect about the time we started this meeting. So we are now part of Gatehouse. The Gatehouse is based in Rochester, New York, which is sort of interesting because the our previous owners, the Ottaway group, were based in Middletown, Campbell Hall, New York, actually, which is upstate New York, so close to Rochester. So we still have ownership in the same area. There's a corporate structure. There's a VP for news content who handles training, that sort of thing. So we'll undoubtedly be in touch with them. We really haven't had a whole lot of contact so far. It's been just really business as usual since the announcement, which was last Tuesday, I believe.
All right, so not much information coming down from above. And any idea about in previous takeovers whether you're likely to get a different website or different paper design or a different delivery cycle for the newspaper, anything like that?
No. At this point, we don't know. The current Gatehouse papers have kind of a similar website design, and it may be that we'll switch to that. We have a little bit of a different situation in that we came in as a group, which also has its own set of computer systems and website designs, and so I suspect that there won't be any immediate change because it would involve in changing the entire group, and we're able to maybe function in our own little universe for a little while at least.
Bob Hunter is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the editor of the Mail Tribune in Medford and the Daily Tidings in Ashland. And you can join us here in the Exchange as we talk about the present and the future now that the chain has been sold. So the Medford Mail Tribune and the Daily Tidings will end up with new owners in the form of Gatehouse. You can join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Well, Bob, obviously journalists are generally not in the business for lavish money or lavish praise, but is love enough on the days when things seem to be changing incredibly fast in the journalism biz?
Well, it's part of what keeps you going, part of what keeps you in a business you love. You know, it's I think a lot of us look around and, you know, in any profession, not just news profession, look around and you think, wow, look at... I was talking to someone whose brother-in-law was a garbage hauler for 30 years and retired with this fabulous pension. But you know, he hauled garbage for 30 years. Not that that isn't a noble job and a difficult job, but that's not, you know, we get some rewards beyond the paychecks, which, you know, the pay's not terrible. We're not starving to death, but there's certainly, if you want to make money, journalism is probably not the chosen profession, whether it's newspapers or radio or TV. You do it partly because it's something that you really enjoy doing and you think's important.
You probably heard the same speech in journalism school that I got from Dave Dugan, who used to work at CBS News, and his line was, if you want to belong to a country club, don't go into this business.
Yeah. I think that's true. That's true for more reasons than one.
You know. Right. As you look around, Bob Hunter, and see, for example, the Oregonian as of October 1st delivering 4 days a week, is there this sense sometimes working at a newspaper like, when are they going to come for me?
Not really. I think there's, you know, I'm a realist and really, I guess, pragmatic about these things. It's like you got to do the best job you can with whatever the circumstances are that you're dealt. I think we forge ahead. I think there are newspapers that are small that have won huge awards up in Walla Walla. There's a paper up there that won a bunch of awards for investigative journalism, and they had a staff of half our size. You know, they won national awards. They were off doing great investigative journalism. So it can be done. You just have to, you know, you have to stay focused and do your job and not get caught up in whatever it is that's going on the money side of things.
What is the general trend in readership at the Mail Tribune in terms of circulation? And then is the online circulation you gain through the years offsetting what you're losing perhaps through the physical paper? And I don't honestly know what you're losing.
You know, we've been pretty flat in recent years in the print, on the print side, so which is good, because at the same time, we have about 20,000 people a day who come to our website. So, in fact, we have more readers. We have a total more readers than we had at our peak. So, it's the difficult thing on the web is there, as everybody probably knows, is there aren't very many ways to make money. You know, it's a more challenging venue to make money than in print. There is advertising there, and we have quite a few advertisers on there. I'm looking right now. We have Prospect Hotel, Lithia Motors. There are a variety of advertisers who show up on the website, but it's not like the newspaper. It doesn't have the kind of same kind of volume that the newspaper has.
And the Mail Tribune and Tidings instituted a paywall not terribly long ago, and has that worked up to the expectations you placed upon it?
Yeah, and part of that was that, you know, we need to protect the newspaper, that you can't charge for content on one hand and give it away on the other hand. It's like you have two stores side by side and you're selling licorice for 5 cents a stick in one store, and the next store over you're giving it away for free. Well, people eventually are going to figure it out. They're going to go get the free licorice. So same thing with us. So you need to put up, we think our content has value. I always put in a plug. It's, you know, support your local journalists, because if you don't, there won't be very many of them left, and you'll end up getting your news from your local government instead of from your local journalist. All the government agencies are adding public relations people and public information officers, and they'll dole out the information as they deem appropriate. We recently had we just got the word Monday. We went to the district attorney over the city of Medford's refusal to release the severance package agreement with the fire chief who they had fired. And the city said, well, it's a privacy issue. We can't release that. And we said, no, it's a public funds issue, and you're giving out public money, and the public who's paying the bill should know. And so we went to the district attorney, and she ruled on our side. And, you know, that's the kind of thing one of thousands of things that journalists do that are really a danger if there's not support for paid journalists, people who can make a living doing it.
And I honestly don't know who else would have done that. And I do remember seeing that Dave Bierweiler's dismissal information was finally out there in the public, thanks to the people at the Mail Tribune who had the time and the bodies to throw at that situation, and the willingness to take the case up with legal authorities.
Right.
So this is the kind of stuff that journalists do. You know, back to the paywall concept, though. Honestly, since I've been subscribing to the Mail Tribune for 28 years now, I really don't know, if you didn't get the paper, how much you're paying for internet service.
There are different levels, prices. I think there's an introductory offer for $69 a year. There's a $99, I think ongoing, it's $99 mm-hmm. a year. That potentially is subject to change as we, with new owners, we don't know. We don't know what they'll be, but so far there's no change.
Mm-hmm. One of the
and that before, that's actually a lower price. Initially, we had same price across the board. Buy the newspaper, mm-hmm. get the online subscription only, same price. And that just wasn't going to work. People are willing to pay something online, but it's a very price sensitive media. So
I've noticed that, yeah, and it just seems like people in old media businesses are still trying to figure it all out. But one of the biggest impacts we haven't talked about yet was that the Craigslist and what it did to classified advertising, because that was a huge chunk of newspaper income, wasn't it?
Yeah, classified has become a different, you know, a totally different beast. The bigger, you know, the bigger chunk of advertising is probably the retail advertising, not the classified, but it was, yeah, it was a big thing. You know, it's part of the changing world. As much as there's a lot of focus on newspapers and their difficulty, the truth is local TV stations are having just as much difficulty. They just don't talk about it as openly as newspapers do. I think all media, radio stations are all owned by conglomerates, local TV stations. There's one that's owned locally. They're all owned by huge conglomerates. It's the way of the world. And then what works or doesn't work is the people you have on the ground at those local sites. And fortunately, we have a bunch of good people. We have people, by and large, I would say the average tenure in our newsroom is probably approaching 15 years here, you know, and there are people who've been here 30 years, and we hired a new copy editor about 3 weeks ago. So there's a range, but the vast majority of people have been here quite a while, so there's a lot of experience and a lot of people who are still with us and plan to be with us as we figure out what happens with the new ownership.
All right. New ownership, again, is it Gatehouse Media? Is that the name of the company?
Gatehouse Media, right.
Gatehouse Media.
They have about 300 newspapers, a lot of small papers. Wairika, Mount Shasta, Weed. Mount Shasta and Weed are weeklies, and, mm-hmm. and Wairika is a daily. Those are papers that are part of the group. So we have a little State of Jefferson coalition ourselves.
All right. Sounds good. A good compliment to Jefferson Public Radio. Mm-hmm. Bob Hunter is the editor at the Mail Tribune in Medford, the Daily Tidings in Ashland, soon to be, well, now actually owned by Gatehouse Media. Bob, thanks for joining us today in the Exchange.
All right. You bet, Jeff.
All right. Bottom of the hour, here is Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 13th of September, 2013. It was on this day, 1814, Francis Scott Key was inspired to write the words to the Star-Spangled Banner, watching the British attack on Fort McHenry in Baltimore. The British had the upper hand in the War of 1812, just 3 weeks before. They had set fire to much of Washington, D.C., burned the Capitol, the Treasury, the President's House, President James Madison, forced to flee for his life. Americans were afraid the British might choose to invade New York or Philadelphia or Boston. The British had recently begun using rockets, a new military weapon, incendiary rockets. And Francis Scott Key watched them raining down on Fort McHenry at the mouth of Baltimore Harbor, and he assumed the fort would not be able to withstand the attack. But just after sunrise, he saw the American flag still flying over the fort. The commander of the fort, Major Armistead, had chosen to fly an enormous flag that day, 42 feet long, 30 feet high. And Francis Scott Key began writing his poem, which celebrated a battle that turned out to be the turning point of the war. And it also immortalized the flag itself as a sacred object in America. It's the birthday of Bill Monroe, born in Rosine, Kentucky, 1911. Father of bluegrass, brilliant mandolin player, tenor, singer. In 1938, he formed his band, the Bluegrass Boys, which came to include, over the years, Don Reno, Jimmy Martin, Carter Stanley, Vassar Clements, Chubby Wise, Byron Berline, and Lester Flatt, and Earl Scruggs. It's the birthday of the pianist Clara Schumann, born Clara Wick in Leipzig, Germany, 1819. She gave a concert when she was 8 years old, and Robert Schumann, who was 17, fell in love with her. She made her formal debut at the age of 11, considered a great pianist for the rest of her life. She married Robert Schumann when she turned 21, had 7 children by him, and continued to tour and perform and compose, played her last concert in 1891, 61 years after her career had begun. Clara Schumann, who said, "My imagination can picture no fairer happiness than to continue living for art." And it's the birthday of the British novelist and playwright John Boynton Priestley, J.B. Priestley, 1894, born in Yorkshire, served in the infantry during World War I. Most of his friends were killed in combat. Didn't write about the war, wrote about the time before the war. Priestley said, "I belong at heart to the pre-1914 North Country." Here's a poem for today by Connie Wanick, entitled Red Rover. What courage we had, our infantry stretched across the yard. No shields, no swords, no cavalry assembled behind us, calming their nervous mounts. We had the strength of our arms, the speed of our legs. We had our friends and our convictions. Opposite us, the undulating line of children drew suddenly straight. It was early on a summer day, but the larks fell silent. A high voice invoked the name, Red Rover. We could not say who said it first, but righteousness passed through us like current through a wire. or like an inaugural sip of wine burning in our chests, something Father gave us over our mother's earnest protestations. Red Rover, a poem by Connie Wanick from Hartley Field, published by Holy Cow Press and used by permission here on The Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to and thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Garrison Keillor with the Writer's Almanac. Garrison Keillor also hosts a Prairie Home Companion. It is the season opener this weekend here on this very same news and information service live from the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul. That'll be Saturday 3 to 5, rebroadcast Sunday noon to 2. This is followed by the annual Meatloaf Supper and Street Dance out by the theater. But Prairie Home Companion is all you need to know. Saturday 3 to 5, Sunday noon to 2 on the news and information service. We'll be back here on the Jefferson Exchange in 1 minute.